Money Web now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Sinisha Pakosamy. You find her, of course, at Momentum. Sinisha, appreciate the time as always. A great piece you put out, and I really like the one line. It talks around the world shifts from Western dominance to a new, unpredictable, multipolar world. And it's a great way of describing it. Now, I want to talk around some of those nuances, but focus today on ESG. And the first question is, we've seen nationalist policies around the world in major economies sort of undermining ESG progress. Why the anti-ESG stance?
Thanks so much, Simon. Absolutely. So, you know, we are finding that more and more national policies are creeping up. So, example, what we've seen under the United States administration with Donald Trump in 2.0, or even India's Narendra Modi, with their Make in India push. And often these policies tend to try and protect their own domestic industries, to protect workers, to protect gross domestic product. But that really does come at the expense of the global cooperation. So to give you another example, when Donald Trump decided to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, and he made the decision to cancel about $4 billion in green climate fund pledges, that tended to weaken the global ESG efforts. So similarly, if you look at India, they've got very high tariffs on their green tech components. And that makes it extremely hard for a country like South Africa to try and access those affordable solar solutions or battery solutions. Now, these policies can also have quite a big domino effect, because they do tend to raise global costs. They also tend to disrupt global supply chains, like we're all aware of post the 2020 pandemic. And they also try to discourage the kind of international collaboration that we really got used to in a post-Bretton Woods system, and those systems that were then needed to tackle climate change. Now, for South Africa, this means that we're actually caught in a bind. So our ESG and sustainability ambitions do depend on global partnerships, but rising protectionism then makes those partnerships much, much trickier to maintain.
Yeah, I take your point on that 100%. Do we have, and I'm thinking around perhaps initiatives, the African Continental Free Trade, there's China's Belt and Way, maybe even just a more direct relationship with China. I mean, do we, as a sort of non-aligned in this sort of dispute that's happening, I don't want to call it a dispute, but in the new multipolar world, I suppose, is there options that we can leverage here?
Definitely. So, you know, South Africa is what we call the non-aligned stance, can actually work out to be a real asset in this kind of multipolar world. I think it does give us a lot of flexibility so that we can engage both with the Western powers as well as the non-Western powers. And we don't end up being tied only to one specific economic or political bloc. So, for example, you know, we can tap potentially into China's Belt and Road Initiative. That is just a newer version of the old Silk Road. And I think they are investing about $1 trillion globally. And in part and parcel of that, we can then access some of the renewable energy technology, some infrastructure funding. But at the same time, instead of just tying, you know, our wagon to the Chinese economy, we can also then strengthen ties with the European Union. And that is really a laser, you know, focus on climate action. They are trying to enable countries with funding and green tech partnerships. Now, you mentioned Africa. You know, with Africa, we've got the African Continental Free Trade Area. And this is another big opportunity for South Africa. So this will enable us to then boost intra-African trade in green technologies. It can also then reduce the reliance on having, you know, very distant or geopolitically risky partners, as we found. So by playing this multi-alignment game a bit more smartly, I do think that South Africa can position itself as more of a regional hub to have this renewable energy innovation. And that will then allow us to also start to leverage off some of our richer deposits of things like critical minerals, things like platinum or cobalt. And that can really enable us to drive more progress on sustainability.
And I like your point there around the regional hub. We could almost become the ESG player within the African continent.
100%. I think this can really be a game changer for South Africa. Of course, we need to get the full African Continental Free Trade Area initiative properly off the ground. you know, there's a massive market behind this. It goes across 54 African countries. And then that can enable us to, you know, trade green tech like solar panels or battery components. And that will then be done more easily across the continent. You know, we know that one of the sticking points for the African continent is a lack of infrastructure. And of course, we have seen China coming in a big way to lay down infrastructure in certain economies in order to get commodities from pit to port. But what's really going to change the game for Africa is to build some of these road and infrastructure networks across the continent.
What sort of role could South Africa play in advocating for global governance in terms of ESG? I mean, obviously there's the Paris Accord. We are part of the Paris Accord, but the US is no longer and some other parties also not there. What should we be sort of talking to these new partners with us and saying, this is what it should look like?
So in a multipolar world where some countries are advocating for these technologies and other countries are working against it, you know, South Africa has to play this game quite carefully. And I do believe that we need to push for a lot stronger, more inclusive multilateral frameworks, things that prioritize goals like sustainability. So that means, you know, advocating for reforms in the institutions like the United Nations, like the World Trade Organization, that will just then ensure that we've got collective climate action, more fair trade policies, more governance. And I think, for example, you know, if we had champion rules that can help us to reduce the tariffs related to green technologies, we could then make things like solar panels and batteries far more affordable globally. So we really do need to push for a bigger representation of the global south within these bodies to ensure that our priorities, things like our just energy transition, can then be heard by the globe.
Is there a risk that we antagonize large economies such as India, such as the US?
100%. And I think, you know, this is that fine game and the fine line that we play with balancing solidarity with upholding South Africa's sovereignty. And we saw that exactly playing out with the United States previously, with our case at the ICJ and a number of other issues that were related to Russia. And I think this is going to be yet another test of our true non-alignment stance in South Africa. But as I say, you know, playing this game carefully means that we are building resilience within our own economy, making sure our own fiscal house is in order, preparing ourselves for higher growth rates later on through structural reform, ensuring that we've got, you know, an independent central bank, national treasury, national prosecuting authority, ensuring that we can diversify our political and economic partnerships in order to get our resources to all parts of the globe.
So risks, but my sense is chatting to you now is that there are certainly risks. We can navigate them. And our president is a negotiator of note, but the rewards just outweigh it quite markedly.
100%. You know, if we get this wrong, the risks are indeed quite big. A big misstep could mean that we do miss out on critical funding, on technology. It could leave something like our just energy plan, you know, which is around $14 billion at the moment. It could leave that underfunded, and that would leave our economy far more exposed to global shocks. And we know that post 2008, you know, geopolitical risk factors are far higher than they've been in the past, particularly post the Second World War. We are living in a global environment of higher volatility. And so, you know, we need to do everything within our power to become more resilient, to not be as exposed to those global shocks. I think making sure that we are not over-reliant on one political or economic partner, like a China or like a European Union, could also then make sure that we are more flexible and that we're not tied to a specific agenda. You know, in the worst case scenario, we would fall behind in this global green environment that's moving in that direction, particularly with the EU and China as examples. We'd probably lose more jobs and more growth opportunities. But, you know, as you say, you know, if we get this right, the rewards can be completely transformative for society in South Africa. We could be the renewable energy hub for Africa. We could leverage our minerals and our trade agreements so that we can get better economic growth. You know, we could secure more sustainability funding. We could create more jobs in green industries. And, you know, despite that global volatility that I spoke about, we can still have a vibrant, resilient economy.
Yeah, risks, but I think the rewards are markedly bigger. And the risks that I think we're aware of and can try our best to manage, we'll leave it there. Sinchi Phakrasami, Momentum, always appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.